Acts 4 and verse number 12. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men, whereby we must be saved. 30 years ago, if I would have read that verse in a service, I would have never have been able to imagine a world that we're living in right now. A world where the very name of Jesus Christ and the very just the thought that you would ever make that kind of a declaration, that there is no way that men can be saved except through Jesus Christ. That just seems like basic, the most simple of truths that we've always believed. But today, that very truth is being challenged. Everywhere you look, it's being challenged. And I think that it reflects the spirit of the age. It reflects what's going on in our world all around us. And I think that it's having an effect upon Christian people and our witness. For some reason, people, they're backing off more than they have in the past just to speak the name of the Lord. Now, I know we live in right in the hub of the Bible Belt, the buckle, I guess you could say, of the Bible Belt. And there's churches and Christian people all around us, but there's still this pressing force of the world and of the enemy who wants to erase this most powerful message, and that is that men can only be saved through faith in Jesus Christ. They can't get saved any other way. They cannot know the Lord. They cannot have forgiveness from their sins. They cannot have any hope for eternity except through Jesus Christ. This message, while the spirit of the age is pressing against the very thought that there could be this exclusive message from God's word, the only way to heaven. And it upsets a lot of people in our world today when you describe what we believe about salvation. But it's important that we hold fast to this. It's important that we hold on to it and that we understand the power of the message of Jesus Christ, the power of the cross, the power of the blood of Jesus, and that this is the means of salvation, and not be discouraged by it, but to have that more or less as the lens that we're looking at, looking through, and we're looking at the world, and we recognize if somehow the truth of the gospel doesn't penetrate their mind and their heart, then they're going to be lost for all of eternity if we don't get the message to them. That has to be our perspective, the way that we see the world, lost without Jesus. No hope except through Jesus and through the message of the gospel. I know you've all heard about the two salesmen that went to Africa, shoe salesmen that went to Africa. The first one called home and said, sent a telegram. This is in the olden days. Get me home. Nobody here wears shoes. The second salesman, he sends his telegram back and it says, send me all the shoes you can get a hold of. Nobody here has any shoes. It was the same problem. It was just the perspective, what he saw. He saw, the second one saw the fact that he held the answer to a big problem that they had. We have to have the perspective when we look at the world and all that's going on in our world today and recognize what they need is Jesus. What they need is the gospel. They need to hear about the gospel of Jesus Christ and this wonderful message. That needs to be our perspective on them. If we're not careful, we'll get distracted and we'll approach the world from a lot of different ways. A lot of people think, well, what we need to be is we need to be more benevolent. We need to be more giving and we need to meet their social needs. And there's nothing wrong. And I think it's biblical to give to the poor. It's biblical to have a social concern. But you can feed people all day long. If you don't give them the gospel, they're still lost. You can meet their material needs. You can, and it's not that it's a bad thing to do that. I understand that it is. We do have a biblical mandate to feed the poor and to minister to people, even in their physical needs. But if you do all that and exclude the gospel, then you have failed. You have failed to really do what the Lord has called us to do. So it's a lot easier to become an activist, isn't it? Busy, like, you know, people get stirred up over issues and stirred up, and we become it's easy to get us to step into some sort of activism to say, well, I'm against that and I don't want that. And we were very careful back when we were involved in this alcohol thing that people, we were being reminded or sending out the reminders often that we don't want to be belligerent. We don't want to be hateful. We don't want to do anything to damage the message of the church and the message of the gospel. We want to make sure that we do this with the right kind of a spirit and that we don't portray something that in any way hinders what we're really about. And sure, we have a place that we should involve ourselves, and there's a message as far as the morality of communities and the church. We have our place there, and you know that I believe that we do, but it's all peripheral. What's really the issue is, do they know Jesus? Do they have the message of the gospel? And if they don't, all these other things really have very little far-reaching or certainly no eternal consequence if we do not declare the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I hope that it bothers you and worries you that there are not as many people saved in our altars or saved through your witness or my witness. It should disturb us that we don't see as many brought to the Lord as we need to see. Obviously, we're not running out of sinners, are we? There are candidates for the gospel everywhere you go. Everywhere you look, even in a community where we live right now, where there's just, there's so many churches and so much that's being put out there, lots of good, gospel presentations that are in a lot of different forms that are out there. But even with all of that, there's still vast numbers of people in our county, in our community, that don't know the Lord, and they're not going to be able to come to the Lord unless we get the message of the gospel to them. So we have a big task, don't we? We have a big task. As a matter of fact, I'll take it a step further and say it is an impossible task. It cannot be done except through, like Faye is describing in her comments here tonight, only by the power of the Spirit of God. Only through God's Spirit are we going to be able. But we have to be able to see people and recognize that everybody that we come in contact with, it may be prearranged and divinely ordained that God has allowed us to have an encounter with them because we're their only hope in knowing the Lord Jesus Christ. And you don't have to worry about, well, that church, they had 20 people saved, or that church had 10 people saved, or 50 people saved. Don't worry about running out of sinners. They're out there. They're out there. And if someone else is able to lead them to the Lord, then we just say, praise God. If they're genuinely getting converted and born again, then we can only rejoice in that. Amen. And be grateful for what God is doing. But we have our own calling and we have our own responsibility. Individually and corporately as a body, we have a responsibility to the lost. I was reading about Jim Cimbala up in New York that he had a service where, people would come around the front and he had different altar people who were talking to them about being saved. And he already had 3 or 4 services that day. And he said he was exhausted. He just sat out on the edge of the platform and was just kind of watching what was going on. And he looked out and he saw a man. He was all dirty. And, he knew that he was just a street person that had come in off the street. And he said, my first thought was, oh no, here I've got this. I'm just so exhausted after all these services today. And now I've got this this fellow to have to try to help. He said the man stood up and started walking to him. And as soon as he did, I just reached in my pocket to find a few dollars to give to him because I thought that he was a wino and that's really all he wanted was just a few dollars. And as soon as he got to him, he started handing him the money. And the man said, no. That's not what I need. What I need to know is about that Jesus you were talking about. And he realized that he was trying to preach the gospel to the crowd, to the congregation at large, and then there's this one individual that he didn't even recognize that this was a man who didn't want money, but he was so messed up in his sin, and he wanted to know about Jesus. He said he stunk, and it was hard to be close to him, but he said he was able to talk to him and to present the gospel to him. And he said the man wept, and he wept, and the man was born again right there at the altar. Praise God. Amen. Hallelujah. Let me tell you, there's a real desperation in the hour that we're faced with right now. And if you go outside of your little world that you're living in right now, and you know you're busy with your daily responsibilities, your family, your work, but if you just step just one step out of your little circle of what you're doing daily and meet some other people and see other people, get involved in what's going on in other people's lives, you're going to find out that there's a desperation out there everywhere you look. And the only way we're going to reach them is we're going to have to invest in them. We're going to have to invest in them. We're going to have to pour some time into them. We're going to have to pray for them. And I don't mean that in a generic way, we'll be praying for you, that kind of a thing. But I'm talking about really taking the names of people and the needs of people and taking them to heart and praying for people in their desperation. You know, the Bible says that the God of this world has blinded their minds, so that they can't receive the message of the gospel. So when you make an investment in the unsaved, you're praying for those people by name, that you actually have an image, you've met them, you've seen them, you know what they're up against, and you're praying not for just the lost, at large, but you're praying for people that you have seen them and you know that they are bound in their sin. You pray that their eyes would be open, and that the enemy that's blinded them to the gospel, that's keeping them from understanding the gospel. You know, the God of this world blinds men, and they are not able to hear. They just can't receive the message of the gospel. It was Spurgeon who said, and he was raised by Christian parents. He said, I can't say it exactly the way Spurgeon said it, but somehow, he had such a wonderful vocabulary and flowery way of saying things, but he described it something like that. I was in my cradle and my parents sung the hymns to me. That's how I was born and that's how I was raised. And he was influenced all of his life by the gospel, being around a Christian family and being around church. But he said, I remember when the word came to me with power. Amen. As a young teenage boy, Charles Spurgeon, he said, I'd heard it many, many times. I grew up on it, but I remember when the word came to me with power. That was the work of the Spirit of God, and the gospel went forth with power, and the blinders were gone because the Spirit of God had delivered him from that blind condition that he had been in, not able to see or understand the gospel. It was all around him. He was raised up around him. There's a lot of people that you know and I know that they've known much about the gospel, but prayer and investment in these people will cause their blind eyes to see and to understand. The Bible says it's really foolishness. The gospel to the unsaved is foolishness to them. To the unsaved, the unconverted, it's just like a bunch of foolishness to them. It makes no sense at all to them. But when the light of truth breaks through that blind condition that they are in, then they can get saved. That's what we need to be praying about. Amen. That's the investment that we need to make in the lost. So ask the Lord to give you an open door. Ask the Lord to give you opportunities to meet people in that kind of a circumstance. They're everywhere you go. They're in the places of business. They're at the hospitals. Everywhere you turn, there are people who don't know the Lord. They don't really know what it means to be saved. And the Lord has called us to go to them. Amen. To go to them and give them the message. This is the only way they're going to get saved. All around you, there are people they're destined for hell. That's their destiny right now. They're on that pathway and they're slipping and sliding right into the pits of hell. And the only way that you can stop that and keep them from moving in the direction toward that horrible eternity is by the Spirit of God. You break into there with the light of the gospel and stop them from moving in that direction and turn their life around. Glory to God. That's what we are called to do. That's what the church is called to do. And if every one of us here, you say, oh, there's not very many of us here tonight. Well, there's 30 of us. That may not be all that many, but if 30 people took it to heart and you really, 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 really started praying for those that are lost and in need, and you took someone on your heart and you start praying for some particular individual, and you start making an investment in that person through prayer and through caring and loving and reaching them in whatever ways that you possibly can, 30 people could make a huge dent in the lost around us here. Amen. You could do that. I could do that. We must do that. Amen. Praise the Lord. Then the church comes alive. We've got all these babies born. I'm a dad and I'm a grandpa, and I know what happens when babies are born. I know. Suddenly there is this new life. And the whole family is all surrounding that new life. And it is just, it's like the whole personality of the family is new because of this new life. Amen. That's what First Pentecostal Church needs to be experiencing. 20 or 30, 40 new converts coming in here for us to baby them and to minister to them and love them and care for them and pour ourselves into them. That'll change this church. It'll transform us, every one of us. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And it's only through the message of the gospel. And you are the vessel. You're the one that can reach out to them. So I just want to encourage you, get that person or two on your mind that the Lord has put on your mind, and start asking the Lord to help you to know how you can invest in them and how that you can pray for them so that their eyes will be open. So when the timing is right, that the gospel will break through to them. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Let's stand. Praise the name of the Lord Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory to God. Praise the name of the Lord. Glory to God. Could we close out this meeting tonight by praying for that one person that's on your mind or on your heart? Amen. You don't have to give me the name, but you just lift up your hand right now. If you have just at least one person that you really have been thinking about, concerned about them, you've been praying for them, at least one person that you really want to see them come to the Lord, and you'll just hold up your hand. There's that one person. I think this is probably without exception here tonight. Amen. It might be a son or a daughter. It might be a spouse or another family member. It doesn't make any difference. It might just be your neighbor or someone that you're connected with in whatever way. But let's pray for that person right now. Amen. Let's call on the Lord for that person right now. And if you want to take it a step further, then you need to ask someone else, you know, some other brother or sister here in the church, ask them, here's the person that's on my mind. Here's the person that I'm really concerned about and burdened for. would you help me pray for my person? And I want the name of your person so that we can, amen. One will put 1,000 to flight, but two will put 10,000 to flight. Glory to God. Amen. So let's pray. Lord, thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Lord, we know that the work and the ministry of the church is such a blessed work. Oh, and we thank you for that. And Lord, and help us, I pray, to hear your voice, to answer the call. And Lord, and to be willing to invest in people that are lost. Knowing, Lord, that they are without hope if they don't know this truth. Lord, and I just pray, Lord, that you would use each one of us individually here tonight. Every man and woman in this building, would you use us and anoint us and send us to that person? Lord, would you open the eyes of these men and women? Would you cause us, Lord, to be able to be effective, Lord, in our witness, that their eyes would be opened and the blinders would be gone, and that the enemy would be defeated, and that the gospel would hit its target? Oh, God, in Jesus' name. God, in Jesus' name, help us, Lord, as the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, these summer months, June and July and August, Lord, I just pray, Lord, that there'll just be an undercurrent of your presence and your spirit, Lord, that's at work, Lord, and we'll see things happen, Lord, over these next weeks that we could not have dreamed or imagined. And it's just because, Lord, of the open doors and the opportunities that you're giving to us, Lord, to do something by the power of the Spirit of God. Lord, anoint us and fill us, Lord, and empower us, God, for this task that we know is humanly impossible, but Lord, nothing is impossible with you. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Lord, help us to reach our loved ones, our neighbors. Help us to reach those, Lord, that you have put on our heart here tonight. Oh, God, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. And we thank you, Lord, that you've allowed us, Lord, to be a part of this great, great commission. Thank you, Lord, that you've allowed us, Lord, to be vessels, Lord, that you have called to use. Help us to not neglect, Lord, or to forsake this calling, but to enter into it and to invest in the lost, to invest in people, Lord, in their sin and the bondages that they are in, Lord. We ask you, Lord, to anoint us and to use us, Lord, that we might see those blind eyes open and see all of the hindrances and everything, Lord, destroyed, that the work of God can move forward. Do a work among us, Lord. Do a work in me personally. Do a work in every man, every woman, every family, Lord, here in this congregation. Stir us and stir the youth and stir the children and send revival, Lord. Lord, that will not resemble anything, Lord, except the biblical revival. Oh, Lord, only the revival that you want to send to us, Lord, that is fervent and real, oh, Lord. And God, a heaven-sent move of God to each one of us. Oh, Lord, we thank you for it. We're believing you to do it, Lord. We're trusting you, Lord, to accomplish wonderful and mighty things. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.